Now entering Nerdist.com. Jackie Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. Jackie Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show.
Yes.
Okay, so...
First of all, we have to do two this afternoon, so talk slow. Right? There's no rush.
Laurie Kilmartin, I'm Jackie Cation.
I'm already...
What we could do is we could introduce ourselves. We never do, you know.
I don't want people to know who I am.
This is a sleeper cell.
My whole career. I have a sleeper career.
Right, right. We could...
I flew home from Seattle this morning.
Right, right. You did a weekend out on the road this weekend.
Okay, yes. And here, so...
Outside of Seattle,
I forgot to promote it. There wasn't that much on Friday, you know?
Yeah.
And then Saturday, we had like 13 people on Friday. And then Saturday was a fuller audience.
Okay, good.
But so Friday afternoon... I booked this thing like a year ago and I kind of forgot about it. And then I was like, oh, fuck. And how am I going to do this? Because it's a Friday show.
Right.
So so we usually get out of work 4-ish.
You're like, it's the same time zone. It's going to be fine.
Exactly. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
So but sometimes we stay till 5.
Right. Right.
And
right.
I have an 8:30 show in Seattle. Which is a two and a half hour flight. So I asked if I could leave at like a 4:05. So usually we park in the parking garage, right, across from Warner Brothers, right? And so I asked the writer's assistant if the second half of the day I could get a drive on so it would be right. So I can just drive right. So that would save like 5 minutes walking to the parking garage.
Right.
So I get the drive on. I drive like at 4:04. I'm walking out because I'm just timing this. I want to see how this works because I have to do this again when I go to the punchline. So I drive. I valet the car.
Yeah.
You know, when I'm like, that's going to be a little extra money, but I'm trying to do is save time here.
Yeah.
And then at 4:23, I was at pre-check.
Oh, nice.
This is Burbank.
It's Burbank, so it's easy.
It's awesome. Yeah. And the flight was at 5:15 and I made it with enough time to get a latte.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Landed.
Someone
got
to pick you
up. And then I went right to the theater, and the theater only has one entrance.
Yeah.
So I had to walk in dragging my luggage, you know.
You didn't leave. Oh, cause you wanted to change probably.
Yeah. So, it was a little, but there's only 13 people there. So it wasn't, the magic was already broken. Right. There was no magic to be broken. There was no fourth wall. They were part of me. They were a part of me.
Right. There were people you knew.
Yeah. And then flew home very early this morning. And I stayed at a Red Lion near the airport. And it was just reminiscent of the 90s.
Right. You kept tweeting about like the diner attached to the Red Lion.
There was no one in it. There's one waiter who didn't care that I stayed all the afternoon. And then like the heating device or the thermostat in the hotel had four settings: off, low, medium, high.
Oh yeah,
it was like
old
one
school.
Of those really old.
And
you
it was
just punch it in.
Yep,
and it fucking worked. Like high was 100 degrees. It was awesome. I was like, this is a heater.
This is a heater, you guys. That might be the name.
This is.
We have
heater.
Two shows.
And I did a yoga class in Renton. And,
oh, you did?
That was my activity for the afternoon.
Nice.
People are, oh, you're going to go to Seattle? And, well, I'm not that big. I don't want to be that busy. I just want to
right.
Yeah, do
this
one
is an
thing.
Opportunity to do sort of, I mean, there's some part of the road.
Yeah.
Which actually is rest.
Yes.
Because you're not at your house and you're like, oh, look at all that dust. I should probably fucking deal with that.
Right.
Like, there's nothing to do. To some extent, you have to actually create, you have to set up your laptop.
Yes.
You have to create a workspace where you could just not. You could just turn on the television and then watch Fiancé for 90 days or whatever Maria watches sometimes. I'm like, what did I watch the other day? I tried to watch something. Oh, I know. It was a fancy chopped on Food Network.
Yeah. I haven't seen that.
It's dumb. They give you like, it's octopus and a jar of pomegranates. Make dessert. And you're like, fuck off.
Those shows are, I think those are aspirational shows for certain people, but I don't want to learn how to cook. It's not, nothing I want.
Oh, I love to cook, actually. And I aspire to other things. And
go ahead.
But it's this week in comedy.
Wait, so I watched a little HGTV Log Cabin Living, and I was like, this is even ridiculous for my standards, because I'm not going to live in a log cabin ever. But then I was flipping around, and I started watching Atlanta on FX. Have you seen it?
No. Nope.
It's good. Oh, my God. It's really – it's one of those shows where I'm like, I got to watch that show, but I don't get just on Hulu, so I'm always, like, seasons behind.
Mm-hmm.
It's Danny Glover's show.
Oh, okay.
Pardon me? Donald Glover, yeah. And he like writes and directs and stars. It's
oh my
just,
God, does he also edit? And then
probably.
He likes to do the art for it.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What, is it a sitcom?
No, it's just, it kind of follows his life. Again, I'm only watched half hour, but it's a half hour, and it's the opposite of multi-single cam.
Okay.
And it kind of follows him around Atlanta. He's a DJ, I think.
Okay.
Slash.
So it's in that slot, the half hour comedy slot.
Yes.
But it doesn't feel like a sitcom.
Right, right, right.
Somebody said that to me yesterday about The Good Place.
Oh, I got to watch that too.
Everyone
loves it. I got to watch
loves it.
Yeah.
I am behind on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and I watched 3 episodes of Star Trek Discovery yesterday.
Not everyone loves that one. Like, you don't have to get, you don't have to be ahead of the game on Star Trek Discovery.
Oh, I am very much under the radar in all of my consumption of television. It's me and 9 other people, which is why we
and had one to, of them you're married to.
Yes, and that's, we had to buy a $6 a month subscription to CBS Online to watch the new Star Trek. And that's the only thing I want to watch. So I was like, well, why can't you just release them all on Amazon and I give you $25? So there's 13 episodes. I've seen 8 of them
now. CBS wants you coming over to CBS. Disney wants you coming over to Disney.
Yep. That's creepy move.
Right?
You're doing a hand motion.
But they see what Netflix is doing. Netflix is a verb now. They want Disney and CBS. They all want that.
Oh, and Netflix went up. Did you get the email? That's
like $1, right?
Yeah, it went up $1.
Yeah.
But get this. We get the DVD that we ignore for months at a crack. So I changed our thing so that we can only get 2 DVDs a month that we don't watch.
Wait, you still get DVDs?
Yeah.
Why?
Because there's things that are only available on DVD.
Oh, my God. Could you stop watching things that are only available on DVD?
No. wait a minute. Yes. Because we aren't watching anything.
You must be the only person. You must be like one of those old, like the old Japanese soldiers they found inside caves still waiting, fighting World War II.
I saw that episode of Gilligan's Island, you guys. It was amazing.
On DVD?
On DVD. And hey, did you watch that DVD I lent you?
Not yet.
Okay.
I haven't had 2 hours with my son, extended with my son. But I haven't absorbed it into my DVD collection, if that's what you're secretly asking.
That's what I'm secretly asking. actually, here's what happened yesterday.
What?
I ordered another copy. It's now a gift.
Oh!
No, just because I worried that I would forget about it. I want to forget about it in my own home some reason.
Thank you.
Like an idiot.
Okay.
It's fine.
It has Jackie written on it.
Oh, does it?
There's 4 movies. It's quite a time record. I didn't realize there was a deadline on watching Lassie.
Right. That's why I decided to just get it, because I felt like, well, don't be that asshole. Luckily, 2 Christmases ago, I got 2 copies of who was in the not Paul Lynde. But yes, Kyle, focusing now, trying to figure out who I'm trying to talk about.
Was it a center square or a gay guy?
It was a gay guy from the early 70s.
James Dean?
No.
Okay.
Was James
Charles
Dean?
Nelson Reilly?
It was Charles Nelson Reilly, but where can we back up here briefly?
Because I read on Twitter that he famously had a 3-way with Paul Newman and Eartha Kitt.
That doesn't make him gay. That makes him available. It's from what I've heard, at a certain point in fame, so many people are throwing themselves at you that you're like, yeah, I'll try that.
No, it's that's got to be the case. But I do think he had an affair with Montgomery Clift. I think that was that's documented.
Is that did someone write it down in their journal?
Yes, that's all the I need. That's, I have the Anne threshold Frank? Of Devin Nunes.
he's from the Central Valley.
Yes, he's your isn't he your in-laws representative?
Probably. Yeah. We have to talk to them before elections. We really got to get in under the wire.
No,
with
we
them.
all it's like what's Fresno? It's about a 4-hour drive?
No, well, you think 2.5 to 3.
Yeah, something
it's probably
like that.
3 hours.
We got to make a visit there before his opponent raised a shitload of money a couple days ago.
I'm doing Fresno with Maria, actually.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Can you guys register people to vote?
You know what? She would fucking love that.
Yes.
Register people.
And maybe you could take donations for what's his face, and maybe you could invite him to the show. His name is Andrew Janz, J-A-N-Z, if I remember correctly, and see if he comes to the show. Invite him over.
Yeah, yeah. All of that is great, and it feels like we'll be doing something.
yes. So,
I did Liz Winstead's telethon.
Oh, how was it?
Lady Parts Justice. It was incredibly. It was hilarious and moving and dumb and awesome. It was a telethon. It looked like
a
bar mitzvah that had blown up, like all telethons. It was too sparkly.
Yeah.
A lot of hanging gold leaf.
And a lot of 13-year-old boys?
Yeah, a lot of 13-year-olds. There was just Jeff Ross. emotionally. Jeff Ross is good friends with Liz Winstead, obviously. So mm-hmm. The first half was hosted by Liz and Sarah Silverman. And then Proops came in and did a bunch of stuff. And there was a big pinata, a patriarchy pinata, that you could beat up. It was super cool. If you go to ladypartsjustice.com, you can still donate. And what they do, you know what they do, is they go, because remember we were going to do their shows? They're doing another run this
summer. Okay, yeah.
We should try to do one. But they go to not Planned Parenthoods, but the privately owned health care centers.
Yeah.
In these towns, in like the last one in Mississippi.
God.
The last
Jesus.
One. And they also provide pap smears and mammograms and all the things. And then they also provide abortion. And I can't remember.
I would get to provide an abortion for somebody?
No, they have actual trained medical professionals providing abortions. You could provide the money if you'd like, $500 to $25,000.
What if I wanted to actually?
Grand.
No, I guess not.
No, you'd have to go to medical school. or it has to be completely illegal, and then there will be a desperate woman who's like, yes, please, do something. Beat my belly with a bat. And
God.
Which is
what
one of the
vivid, awful image.
Yeah, there were some vivid, awful images that were expressed.
Oh.
And we played these games, actual legislation that was passed by, because all the bad legislation is being passed at the state level.
Yeah.
To go get around Roe v. Wade and all these things, right? And so she had a state senator from Missouri, this woman who you might know her name. I can't remember it. She was the one, remember in Michigan when the state, they wanted to pass a vaginal abdomen invasive thing.
Yeah, transvag, I think.
It was a transvaginal abdomen, something, something. And one of the male state senators said, you have to stop saying vagina. You have to stop saying vagina. It's so gross. And
wow.
She said, it's a transvaginal abdomen scan bill. What do you want me to call it? That's the medical term. And he said, something nicer, like lady parts.
Oh, my God. Is that how? Oh, my God.
And that's how Liz came up with the name.
I was not aware
Lady Parts
of that.
Justice. Yeah, I'd forgotten that that's how it was. And so, and I was sitting next to Ada Rodriguez and Sarah Silverman doing the phones.
Uh-huh.
And then it was Chelsea Kane, the actress.
Yeah.
Not the horror writer. And who I'm mistaken for the horror writer. And she was super polite. The only thing
because
she has in common.
Because that's probably the first time that's happened.
She didn't know who the hell she was. the writer of thrillers and horror. Anyway, and D&D. And also the comic book Mockingbird. And got trolled really hard on Twitter and had to quit Twitter.
Really?
Yeah. Because she wrote the Mockingbird. I don't know if you've ever seen. There's a superhero in the Marvel Universe called Mockingbird.
Yeah.
And she, there's a famous drawing of her wearing a t-shirt that says, ask me about my feminist agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the dude bros on Twitter just piled on her and said, Mockingbird's not a feminist. And she's like, She is the way I wrote her. And because I get to write her.
Yeah.
And then they piled on her. And because she isn't a woman comic, she doesn't know how to deal with trolls.
Right.
She's just a writer.
Yeah.
And just a writer. She's not. She's a writer.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
But she doesn't have to deal with hecklers like we do.
And she doesn't get a little thrill at
out of
crushing somebody.
Exactly. But I believe in you, Chelsea Kane. If you're listening, you could get that thrill that we all have. And yeah, because Liz was also talking about having some sort of seminar for like women in the tech industry and writers to learn how to deal with hecklers.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
And
just to shut them down. And go, fuck you. What? Why not?
Yeah.
And so anyway, and then Andy Richter and then Jeff Ross.
That's great. What an amazing lineup.
Right.
Jesus.
Jeff Ross, who's been hanging out with Dude Bros his entire life.
Yes.
Said the dumbest thing ever. It doesn't mean that Dude Bros can't be feminists and they can't be supportive of
right.
women. And Jeff Ross's fans, who are dumb... but nice,
yeah.
right, are probably donated as well because mm-hmm. they raised 21 grand.
Oh, that's great.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
And so Jeff says, I'm going to donate. If someone donates $500, I'll match it. And then so everyone's like, yeah, cool. And Liz is like, oh, thanks, man. And then there's like a beat or two and Jeff goes, but that woman has to fuck me. At the Lady Parts Justice telethon. And... literally,
I just got tired.
So did Liz Winstead. She just sighed at him. And about 10 minutes later, some woman in the front row said, I'm donating $500 so he has to match it and I'm not fucking him. And she's like, and Jeff goes, oh, okay, okay. Which is a classic way that decent men who are idiots and just hang around
with other men. There's certain comics where they can't stop themselves from making a joke.
Right, and he hangs out with all
it's
men.
It's like some sort of Tourette's that they have.
He might know Judy Gold. That's it.
Where he's got, there's a riff and it's ready to go and it's got to be said.
Even if it's the lowest hanging fruit, yes. He just has to say it.
Yeah.
And you're like, dude, I know that, because that's a roast battle thing too.
Yeah.
Where you say the thing to shut the other person down ASAP.
Right. Yeah.
So I get it.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, this is going out February 11th.
Yep.
And my book comes out in 2 days.
Woohoo! 13th.
That's right.
That's right.
And I'm begging. If you're going to buy my book, please buy it this week.
Right.
Because that'll
make the numbers.
Pre-orders and this week counts for potential bestseller lists. And that means momentum, and that means more books, whatever. That means more people go, what's that thing on the, you know, the bestseller list? Let me check it out, you know, or let me interview this lady or something.
So the week of, are you going to call in all the famous people?
I'm trying to ask people. Yeah, embarrassing.
And it is embarrassing.
I don't like doing it.
I only do it every 3 years when I put out a new album. I'm like, hey, guys, you're famouser than I am. If you could tweet out to your peoples, that'd be amazing.
I know.
And then Jim Gaffigan does.
Love Jim Gaffigan.
Sweetheart of a man.
Yep.
And make him do it. You know him.
Yeah, I sent a...
You sent it out to whoever?
Him. Yeah.
Oh, you sent him a book?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I don't want your book.
No, oh, I know. I know.
I'll buy it, goddammit. That's what I'm going to do. Watch me buy it. Because that's what I will buy it. It's I will read it on the toilet like it was meant to
that's
be.
Just, that's what
where,
it's meant to be.
That's where it's meant to be.
And, you know, again, I've said this before, but you and I make no money from doing this podcast. We could easily have these conversations ourselves without driving a half hour. I wouldn't, but I'm saying... If I would, I could.
Right.
But I wouldn't.
Right.
But my point is we've given you over 100 hours of free entertainment. I'm assuming you're
shell
entertained.
Shell out $16. You can do it.
Yeah,
I don't
$16 to $18.
You can do
it. The book and the PDF count and the Audible doesn't. But, you know, either way, I don't care. Whatever.
Yeah.
However you consume books. But if you like me and you like my Twitter, you'll probably like this book.
Because it's
my
more of
sense
that.
Of humor
yeah.
wrote it.
Yeah. It turns out you did not have some sort of shadow
it's
writer.
It's called Dead People Suck. And please try to buy it this week. I really appreciate it.
And so speaking of ads, because the Dork Forest has ads now. because there's an advertising company.
You gave me a bar from when you're at
the RX bar. Yeah.
So yesterday morning, I had like a bite of it. I'm like, oh, this is awful. But I threw
you
it away.
Powered through it.
I threw it away.
What?
But then later, I was hungry and it got less awful, and I ended up finishing it.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's a reason we don't have ads here on the Jackie and Laurie show. Because that kind of endorsement is the kind of endorsement that all advertisers are looking for.
Like,
I threw it away, but I dug through the garbage and finished it because I was hungrier.
Right. I mean, it's either that or I go to Gregory's Diner for another meal by myself. And I just wanted a little bit. And so that bar worked.
That's what they're for, first of all.
I won't say the name of it because
no, I just
didn't
said
give
the
it
name
a,
of
oh,
it.
Oh, you did?
And it's fine. It's
Well, it had dates in it or something like that.
Yeah, it didn't have red delicious apples in it. I forgot that it did not have a red delicious apple in it. I almost brought you – I bought these really great apples and I was like –
You know what? Everyone tells me they're buying great apples and I buy it and they're grainy and shitty. I'm the only one on earth who knows how to buy an apple, apparently.
Jesus, God, you're so – you couldn't be wronger. And, but the weirdest thing is so Andy Ashcraft says to me, peel it so she doesn't know. That it's not a red delicious.
What a horrible sentiment from your loved one about me, friend.
Well, and that's what he's like, trick her into eating an apple that wasn't genetically modified by an evil scientist.
They come off red delicious apple trees.
Right. Sure. You tell yourself that and then go live in a Pleasantville bunker somewhere.
How long
and then
have
come
we
out
seen
and everything will be in black and
the
white.
The red apple. In advertising since the 70s, they've been around at least since I Heart New York City.
Ever since.
They're a very established
that
apple.
Beatle was killed. John
what?
Lennon.
Oh.
Because didn't he wear a t-shirt that said, oh, no, he just said New York City. It didn't say I Heart.
Oh, my God.
I want to put John Lennon in an I Heart New York City.
We are
place.
Reaching already, and we're not even at 20 minutes, right? Oh, my God.
Wow, good eye, good eye. So I did, a set this week called Drunkalogs over at the clubhouse.
Did you get drunk?
No, you asked me that last week. Thanks for listening. And what it was supposed to be is just stories. I thought it was supposed to be stories of when bad life decisions when you were drunk.
Okay.
And instead, people were just doing their stand-up from a perspective of, and I was like, oh.
From what?
From sort of the drunk perspective, like when
so they were getting drunk and doing stand-up?
Like, there's no drinking at any of this point.
Okay.
There was only stories of when you got drunk and funny things that might have happened.
Okay.
That's what I thought it was.
Okay.
Instead, it was people just doing their regular act. Mm-hmm. And then essentially, so what I ended up doing was bits that that I'm working on with the angle of, how did this play itself out when I was drunk?
Mm.
Like, because I was recently, someone defined for me, I believe it was Kate Willett.
Yeah.
Defined what flirting was.
Yeah.
And flirting is when you talk to somebody or you're hitting on somebody in such a way that they feel attractive. So if you are hitting on somebody and they do not feel attractive, you have failed at the flirting. That is a failure of flirting.
Okay.
So that's the definition of flirting. And so what started making me think, because you know there's guys who are like, you can't even flirt anymore.
Right,
and
right, right.
I'm like, I don't think I was flirting. And so that's my bit. The one that I'm working on is about how I don't think I'm flirting. I'm pretty sure I'm harassing. And then I came up with and then I told the story of my first DUI. Because I got the DUI because...
How many total for Jackie?
Two.
Okay.
Two, yeah. It only took me twice and $14,000 to figure out because they're about seven grand a piece.
God, that's a new bathroom right there.
That was what? That was
$14,000?
Yeah. Are you thinking about getting a new bathroom?
No, I'm telling you what you didn't get. So you feel worse.
Because
you were going to trick me by taking skin off an apple.
I feel bad about the 14 grand, but it's gone now. But I don't feel, I never feel bad when the money's gone. Because I always think, oh, just make some more money. Do you regret
that
money?
Isn't
that's
how
gone?
Money happens.
That's exactly how money happens.
When you lose money, you get more money.
Yeah, when you lose money, it's gone. And then you're like, oh, I should probably go make some more money.
Oh, okay. Isn't but you how? Are, but weren't you that you, so you weren't going to try to make more money before you had to give money to the state?
Yeah, I was going to make more money. But I mean, the thing is, I mean, I guess I don't care that, yeah, I don't know. What do you think?
I obsess over
that's true.
Every $5 I can't find.
And it, where did that $5 go?
And that could have that could have bought if I'd invested that, if I'd used it to buy an Apple stock in 1983.
Red Delicious Apple stock. The yeah, so anyways, but I might have got a new bit out of it.
Uh-huh.
Because it came from a new angle, right? Mm. You can't start yawning. We're 20 minutes into 2 hours.
I woke up so early.
I slept so long.
What?
I slept.
What? Why would you say that to me after I just told you I woke up early?
Been sleeping very well.
Oh.
And so I slept for like 11 hours. And then
what'd
I got
you take?
Up. Did
you?
Nothing.
What happened? How'd that happen?
Exhaustion at around 10:30 last night. And then I woke up at 6:15. Played a little Marvel Puzzle Quest.
Yeah.
Went back to sleep till 11, and I got a series of text messages from the two of you. And, but I was like, oh my God, that is so much sleep that I am happy with. Anyway.
I had a nice round of sleep on Friday night.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I took a bunch of melatonin the night, you know, after my shows. And
what is that? Is it
just it's like a natural sleep aid. Aid, yes. I was going to say supplement, but it doesn't give you sleep. But it gives you wild dreams. And I'm not the only one who's commented on this.
Oh, yeah?
It gives you wild, very colorful and dramatic dreams. And
right.
So you have to accept that.
Do you accept it in the moment? Like when you dream, do you know you're dreaming sometimes?
No, I'm not. That's self-aware and in life.
No more, not that self-aware. Writing it down. I think we all, but look, you're growing right in front of us.
Yes. So, so I feel, I tweeted cause I was mad last night and then I took it down. And it, because
you and Paul Ryan, what did you tweet?
So on the Friday night show that we had a guest set go really long, and so I got up late, right?
Yeah,
and the audience was good though. The 13 people were actually good. So
someone went long on a guest set in 13 minutes with 13 people. Long guest set for 13 people.
Correct.
Hey, note to self out there: don't do that.
Correct.
That's jackassery.
So then on the Saturday show. And I'm not going to say his name because he's super funny and he just made a mistake.
Right. Jeff Ross.
What if he's our default for everyone who's we're not going to name Jeffrey Ross?
I'm okay with that. I'm all right with that. He's met me 30 times. He doesn't know me.
But he didn't see the light. And like the show started at 8:40 and I didn't get up until 9:55.
Whoa.
Okay. But here's the thing. So he didn't see the light. And then, but this is when I got mad is I'm like, God damn, like I didn't pay attention to when he went up, but it felt long. And I was like, it's almost 10 o'clock. And the show's been going on for an hour and 15 minutes already. Like,
yeah.
That's too much show.
That's too much show.
And then so he asked, hey, am I supposed to get off now? And
So, 9:55? Is that when you got
up? That's when I got up, yeah. So he said something, the person he was talking to said, yeah, just wrap it up. And so he said, I'm going to do one more thing. And for me, one more thing means one more joke.
Yeah.
But when the person's a storyteller, that means one more 10-minute story.
Right.
And I was like, what the fuck?
He did a 30-minute guest set.
No. The second night, Saturday, was when the feature act did it. And the guest set kept it reined in. I'm just saying, it was the second night in a row where I was like, why am I not on stage right now?
Oh.
And, you know, it's a really long show.
That.
And so I got extra mad and I felt guilty because even though I didn't say his name, I just sort of did a generic tweet about 50 being the new 30 in time,
terms
of how long features go.
Yeah.
But then I saw on Facebook some Seattle comics were weighing in. I'm like, oh, I don't want to create a gossip storm. So I just deleted it.
And just thought you'd say it on this podcast.
But I mean, I want to explain.
Yeah. Okay.
Because, you know, he's super funny and it was great material, but I was, you know.
It's just too long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. And he should know that. Even if we don't say his name. And we should all know that. I mean, One of the things about going over is that you always know that you've gone over at a certain point.
You do.
If I
you
go over three to five, I cut anybody.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
I've done
right,
that.
Right, 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 right.
Where it could, but when it pushes five, you're like, oh.
Yeah.
I'm doing a bit that I know
I usually
was
have
not
time for
in
this bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Should, yeah. This is not on my set list.
Turns out you don't have time for that bit.
Yeah.
Turns out you're right.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But I did make fun of him on stage. So part of me is like, oh, Gritty
right,
gave
you
me
got back
ammo.
Yeah.
And I love ammo.
You love ammo.
And the crowd stayed good, so it turned out to be okay.
Yeah.
But there's always a worry that, you know, they've hit peak laugh and they're tired. And
yeah, you don't want to bleed that off. I mean,
if they get there at 8:30 and I'm still on stage at 10:30, that's a lot to ask of people. They're sitting the entire time.
Yep.
And that's a lot of attention.
They probably stopped serving a half an hour ago.
Maybe.
Before the end of your show.
Yeah.
And it's, there's people out there who feature, who mm-hmm. want to blow away the headliner.
Right, right, right.
And that's fine. If you stay to your time and you blow away the headliner in 25 to 30, go for it.
And you know what? How easy is that? You just
well,
do your
sweet
top
spot.
25
yeah,
and just murder and then
you
leave?
You should be a genius for
sell
25
shirts?
To 30.
Yes.
Yeah. Sell your CDs for $10 when I tell you to sell them for 20. Anyway, so but the thing is so like sometimes people are like, I don't want to like people who pick their features
mm-hmm.
or get mad at what kind of material their features do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. Gramication does not approve of, because whoever goes before you gets to do whatever the fuck they want to do.
Right.
But when they go over, that's a different complaint. I'm a huge fan of you get to do your 30, you get to do your 15. Like if you swear and I don't swear, then it might make it a little weird, but so I have to work a little harder. But that's none of my business, or I try to make it none of my business,
mm-hmm.
right? And then there's a level at your, you know, you work towards headlining where you get to pick the feature. And you pick a feature that's complimentary.
Mm-hmm.
And, but even that feature, you don't want anybody going 20 minutes over.
Yeah.
That's
well,
nuts.
All I want is do the time and not talk to the crowd too much. Or
oh,
at all.
You don't
if at all
you don't
possible.
Like them talking to the crowd?
Yes.
Do you talk to the crowd?
Yeah.
In the long set? You know, I've never seen your long set.
Yeah, you've never read my book. You don't even know my fucking name.
It's Paul Gilmartin. That's your name.
That's my brother.
Every time I tell Siri to call you, they're like, call Paul Gilmartin?
No.
No.
What? But Paul, do you just say the last name or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then they think I say, and so, no, if I say Lori Kilmartin, it says, you mean Paul Gilmartin?
What the fuck?
Right. So I've taken to saying, call Lori, and you're the only Lori
Siri
that I will ever know.
Sexist. Yeah. You have no room.
Done.
You have two ill Martins, and you have no room for another Lori. I'm sorry.
No other Loris. I got Laura's. I got whatever.
You know what? Ella Gale was really funny. She did a guest set.
Yeah?
Yeah. But I was talking to another female comic about, and she was mentioning, and I've heard this, like this has happened in my career, and I can't believe it's still happening, where, I mean, early in my career, where you and a guy are sort of parallel trajectory for a little while, like you're both, and all of a sudden he starts
taking off
in outer space, and you're still down
along.
There. And it's still happening.
Yes.
And
yes,
all,
it is.
All I could say was like, you know, sometimes it evens out if you stay in it long enough. And I know so many, I know guys that I started with that went really fast, really quickly. And then they sort of fell
apart. And
then
apart. They plateaued or they fizzled out.
Yeah. Or the only reason they went that fast is because they were young. And then it's the second they hit 30, what the industry liked about them isn't what they like about them anymore. And for whatever reason, they don't want to try a different angle.
Right. They didn't transition into whatever that
right.
would be.
But it's really, you know, there's still huge amounts of sexism.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And
I just sat with Liz Winstead and
yeah.
And it was,
But you would think with like the next generation, like we know shit now, right? So you would think it wouldn't be as bad, but.
Well, I think that we're all, and especially those younger women who mm-hmm. don't know what it looks like, mm-hmm. We're all fighting the same battle over and over and over again. And it's like I did Joke Machine with Foley this week, mm-hmm. Erin Foley, and she's working on a Me Too bit that is really funny, mm-hmm. but it led to this fascinating conversation for me about why. We're still, I mean, it feels like we're still fighting the fact that in 1850, women were allowed to leave the house by themselves. Because, you know, if you think about it, women always left with a man. Mm-hmm. They always had a dude with them. And if you
like
didn't.
Like Saudi Arabia now.
Like Saudi Arabia it can be now, right? Mm-hmm. And if you don't have a man with you, you are open game. You are free game. You can be raped. And it's. And if the man that you are with is not strong enough, another man could take you from him. Mm-hmm. That was the way it was for 10,000 years, right? Mm-hmm. So for the last 150 years or so, women are like, no, I need to vote. I would like to go out and get a job. I would like to have my own carriage, whatever.
Right, right, right.
And I think
I don't wanna
we're
be
still reeling from yeah. that. I think that we're still learning because 75% of the men were like, oh, I guess my sisters and mom and women are going to go out now in the world and there's not going to be a dude and I'm not supposed to rape them. Is that the rule? Okay. And then 25% of the men are like, well, then I get to push them around and do whatever I want because there's no dude to stop me. And we're still trying to teach that 25% of dudes that that's not – that you don't – just because a woman's alone doesn't mean that she is yours to take mm-hmm. or do whatever you want with
right.
or make drive a car that's unsafe. Or whatever Uma Thurman had
oh, God.
Some sort of problem.
I just wrote her name down as a thing to talk about. Did you read that article?
I read part of it.
First, the second part was Maureen Dowd is, she's got to go.
Well, that's why I stopped reading.
I'm like, lanky? Why am I reading that Uma Thurman is lanky when we're talking about her being raped by Harvey Weinstein? And then she tweeted out.
Maureen Dowd.
Well, she tweeted out like the headline was something like, it was a goddess, a mogul, and a mad genius. And
right.
I'm like, wait, so she's the goddess? She's not the mad genius.
Right.
Oh, Quentin Tarantino's the genius.
Oh.
You know,
fuck
can
you.
I just, you know, like I love certain, I always love some Quentin Tarantino scenes, but sometimes the whole movie doesn't work for me. Mm-hmm. Like there are scenes in Inglourious Basterds that are fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Right. But
I stopped watching him.
Even from the start from Reservoir Dogs, it's like, do people say the N-word that much? Like I'm a white person and I haven't heard white people talk
you
like that.
You know racists. They're not saying it.
Maybe I do. Or maybe. Right. Or I'm like.
No, I know racists.
So
I was
just
raised
this
among.
Excitement to say the N-word and put it in people's mouths and actors' mouths and watch them say it because you wrote it. And that's weird. I know movies don't. Aren't always they don't perfectly reflect life. Like stand-up isn't exactly how we say it happened. It's you know it's
everything's
heightened. It's written and it's made to look how you want it to look. But are there all these people talking like that?
No,
all the time. I mean, it's bananas.
Literally, I saw Pulp Fiction.
Yeah,
and knew that it wasn't for me.
Right,
because it's made for the 14 to 34 year old dude, bro. That's who it's made for. It doesn't mean that there aren't women who like it and love it. But so I watched it and I saw it at every party I went to the year it came out. And so I ended up liking it at the end of it all.
Right.
And I was like, well, this is, I see what he's doing here. It's really cool. I don't like, he reminds me of something that is imaginary in my head. Hear me out. In my head, there are writer's rooms full of 25 to 45 year old men mm-hmm. who are like, let's make the two actresses kiss because we can.
I know. Oh, of course you know it. Yes.
And that I've never been in a writer's room where that's happened, but I know in my heart of hearts that that's happening.
Right.
And I'm like, that's Quentin Tarantino. He's like, I want to make the two actresses kiss. I want to make people... I want to make the liberal actor guy say the N-word.
Yeah.
I want to make this happen because it's a power grab, which made me never like him. So I'm not surprised that he's a fuckwit and a horrible person. And I don't know how horrible a person he is because I don't know him.
I don't know.
And I'm okay. But he's definitely – he's like the comic book guy on The Simpsons, where he worked at the Blockbuster, yeah. You know, the indie Blockbuster. Yeah. And he's like, now he has power and he's going to use it not for good, but fake for good. Right? Inglourious Basterds, where everyone gets to kill Nazis.
Maybe because it's set in World War II. That's you. Hardly, I don't think there's any N-words in Inglourious Basterds. Maybe that's why it's more watchable.
It was Django thing, right? That was his N-word movie.
Is that Django? I didn't watch Django. Is that Django Quentin Tarantino?
Yeah. Yeah, that was his.
You know what? Maybe that's why I was like slavery and Quentin Tarantino. I don't think I could take it.
Not a chance in hell. It isn't made for me. And he seems like just such a hangout kind of just like low hanging fruit guy where you're like, because it looks beautiful. Pulp Fiction is a gorgeous movie.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those people are super cool looking. but it's not. But the plot, it's about people I don't like, people I wouldn't invite to the house. I mean, it goes, and then you're like, it's like the last Woody Allen movie I watched was Hannah and Her Sisters.
Yeah.
And that had to be 25 years ago or 30 years ago. And I watched it and I was like, no, I don't like this guy.
Hmm.
And I know I'm supposed to.
Yeah.
I know I'm supposed to like these mad geniuses. And you're like, hey, mad genius, shove it up your ass. And no.
Well.
Not for me, but it doesn't. But I don't know who.
But so there are audience. Like, I'm always like even Reservoir Dogs, again, it was kind of blew my mind. But the conversation when they start just throwing the N-word around, I'm like,
yeah.
This is awful. Are there people, are there white guys or white people that are like,
yeah.
Like they watch it and they don't get uncomfortable. They get incredibly comfortable.
I don't know. Kyle? You're right.
Man, lots of thoughts on this. Don't disagree.
But what button do you think it's pushing?
I think that it's that cultural shift of that pushing like the boundaries of like, oh man, he's like saying stuff in this way that like feels real because we haven't seen it that way in movies.
Okay.
But like, yeah, for me, he's always been kind of like the slick, cool, kind of not as smart version of what had already been being done in the indie world for like, you know, 15 years at that point.
Right.
And so like, I think that
Like who's a smarter version of Quentin Tarantino?
I think that, like, in some ways, you could say, like, John Cassavetes.
I was just going to say that.
But John Cassavetes.
Came from a place of empathy more than style.
Gina Rowland's husband.
Yeah. Boom.
He'd be happy to be referred that way.
That's neat.
And he personally strangled Diane Kruger in the scene in Inglourious Basterds where she's being strangled. And he personally spit on Uma Thurman. That's just an odd thing for a director to want to do, right? I mean, wouldn't you say, okay, so we have the scene where she's being strangled. So let's just say that's just a scene. It's not somebody living out their fantasies. Because she was discovered by the Nazis, right? Yes. So don't you get like a stunt strangler or something? Like,
yeah.
you're going to leave that to some guy who doesn't know, or you don't press on this vein right here.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you actually get a doctor or somebody to go, we need you to be these hands to pretend to strangle? Why would you, the Blockbuster employee who turned into a director, feel qualified to put your hands around someone's neck? That
makes me loathe him even more. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's, I'm in show business, you guys. I did a, like an interstitially kind of sketch thing for Comedy Central once with Steve Ranazzisi.
Mm-hmm.
You might remember him as the hero of 9/11.
I'm like, where do I know that too long, too many voweled last name?
He had some show on Comedy Central, probably still does. But I played
it's
a lady.
It's probably called I Lied About 9/11 and I'm a Hero.
So I was supposed to spit on
him. I'll never be punished because I'm a white guy. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jackie.
I was supposed to spit on him.
Yeah.
And so they gave me this goo to put in my mouth.
What?
And then I did spit on him. And I was like, this is gross. And he was like, don't worry about it. So we talked about it like you do in an acting scene. Whenever in an acting scene, you put your hands on somebody or you do something weirdly physical, you discuss, I'm going to slap you. Yeah. I'm going to choke you. I'm going to weirdly spit on you with this fake goo that then they will wipe off. And I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
And that was what it was. They gave me this goo that I had to hold in my mouth. And then spit at him.
Was it Quentin Tarantino saliva?
It was. That was the name of the brand. It was a Quentin Tarantino brand. I was going to tell you that story, and then I was going to tell you that a guy came up to me after a set in the 90s to tell me how much he enjoyed my show. Mm-hmm. Older white man. And I was in the 90s. What would I have been in my early, late 20s?
Late 20s, yeah.
So I'm in my late 20s and I'm just standing down by the bar and this older couple come up to me and that means 50s.
Right.
And
that
means our age now.
Oh my God.
I know. And he was like, so are you really from Milwaukee? That was, of course, the lead in. And I'm like, no, I lied about that. Why wouldn't I lie about the glamorous world of South Milwaukee, Wisconsin? Anyway, so he said, I was in Milwaukee once, and a very funny story happened. And then he told me a story, and he used the term negress.
Oh, my God.
Which means that he was a man who uses the fucking N-word.
Right, because he was trying to clean it up.
He tried to clean it up. And I was like, did you just say the word negress at me? And he goes, isn't that the... And I goes... No, just a black woman, if you needed to tell me what color she was.
Well,
yeah.
I don't know.
So was a lot. Anyway.
That article. Was infuriating.
And Maureen Dowd...
The way she wrote it was infuriating.
Guess who's never voting with my vagina for Maureen Dowd?
Oh, exactly. Yeah, I know. She did more to bring down the Clintons than fucking Newt Gingrich, practically. Yeah. And the false equivalency, you know,
the huge fan
the crime of being Hillary. Her with her Hillary descriptions are, you know, she loves Uma Thurman. So Uma's lanky, but she doesn't love, Hillary. So Hillary's, you know, a
blocky.
Shrew or a witch or as, you know, harsh voiced.
Why don't we do the lady?
Oh yeah.
Can we do the lady?
Okay. Comic of the week.
Comic of the week, you guys.
Is Hannah Einbinder.
Hannah Einbinder. What's her?
At Hannah
Einbinder. Hannah has two H's, and Einbinder is Einbinder, right?
Yeah, I just saw her at a show at the Cafelito Organico. It's an outdoor cafe in downtown LA. Have you been there?
You were talking about how great it was for an outdoor show, right?
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah. And she was so funny and such precise jokes. And I think she's a newer comic, but
that's neat.
Yeah, really, really great writing.
That's
you know?
So cool.
And weird.
Hannah
and
Einbinder.
Kind of took some kooky chances. It was really fun to watch.
I can't wait to, I need to see what's going down.
There's that room, and then there's this other room that I just did, and it's also an outdoor coffee house.
Oh,
Holy Grounds.
Pardon me? Yes,
Holy Grounds.
Holy Grounds, and the guy lives above Holy Grounds owns the coffee shop and owns the space, and it's just like he made his backyard really fucking hella cool, and now he has comedy shows there.
Awesome.
I'm like, oh my God, I could maybe that's how I'll end up with in my life, just turning my backyard, some yard, into a comedy club and having cool little venues every once in a while.
I did a backyard show last week as well. It was
this
God
is total
it,
LA
Lynn.
Comedy. I don't know how you people in
in Wisconsin
or Maine do comedy anymore, but this is how it's done in Los Angeles.
Yeah, it was
in the winter.
In the winter, of course. And
But, you know, they have, like, the tea lights running, and it just looks so magical and sparkly and so L.A. Those are my kind of my favorite shows to do in LA are those nighttime shows, you know?
Yeah, it was fascinating. And it was with, God dang it. I wish
those
I
nighttime
could,
outdoor shows.
I am spacing, of course, the name of the backyard show that I did. But it was in their friend has a real job.
Yeah.
These two young women comics.
Yeah.
Their friend has a real job, thus rents a very nice house over in off of Sunset.
Okay.
And there's folding chairs and a stage and tea lights and all those things.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of the neighbors, who is called something like Genial Neighborhood Dad, goes up and does stand-up.
Yeah.
So that he doesn't call the cops. And he gets to do like 5 to 10. And it was
hilarious.
It was awesome. And it was Danielle Porter was on the show.
Oh, cool.
And I can't remember the name of the two women who hosted it. And I'm a bad person.
You're an
Lynn.
Asshole. And it's happening live on our podcast. It's unfolding in front of you.
Who knew you were a musical?
Nobody, especially the people that just heard that.
Hannah Einbinder, you guys. Get out there. See the magic.
I was trying... It's hard to eat good on the road, man. Especially when you're, you know, near
next
a diner.
To a red liner?
Yeah, yeah.
Red line?
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah, I was trying to do...
What do you try to eat? What's good? Besides, obviously, a red delicious salad.
If I could just have sourdough toast all day long, I'd be so happy.
Just a piece of toast?
Well, no, not a piece. A couple pieces of toast with butter and salt on them. I don't know what a human needs more than that. That solves all my nutritional
the
desires.
The Red Lion Diner, Gregory's, did not have a sourdough toast?
No, they did. I'm just saying, like how, you know, there was another comic we were talking about last week who's doing 10 to 6, eating from 10 to 6
oh,
only.
Right.
And I was like, because I kept going, all right, if I was doing that. How would I handle it right now? And I was like, I can't do it. But I'm trying to let myself be hungrier.
Yeah.
I feel like that's like I've worked on a lot of things on myself. And that's the last vestige of a broken childhood is comfort food and comfort eating.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, food is almost I have a friend of mine whose wife is doing a very intense food program where she has to
OA?
Call worse
gray sheet OA worse than gray sheet OA
what's gray sheet O
gray sheet Overeaters Anonymous
right
and gray sheet is where they give you a gray sheet and it has what you can eat on it every day and you call in your food in the morning and say that I'm eating this and you do not deviate
right
you
I there's oh deviate. I've heard of OA I've heard of OA How and I've heard of FA which is OA How on steroids I have not heard of this gray sheet
that might be an old How might be a version of gray sheet so
okay.
FA, what's FA then
Food Anonymous
right and so that's
and
hardcore
it's
every
hardcore.
Bite is logged
every bite is logged and every bite is a call and you and if you can't eat any sugar or dairy and grains I think are dodgy and then so it's all whole foods which is mm-hmm. fine but then portions are strictly controlled and if you have planned a beautiful red delicious apple but you're out of apples and
you
got to
leave
orange,
my apples out of this conversation
it's true. And then but the orange and you only have an orange you can't eat that orange and if you do eat that orange without calling your sponsor or somebody
you're not abstinent
yeah you're not abstinent and so my friend is right. It's just like, and she's like, I love this program so much. And I was like, do you?
I don't want to live like that.
I don't want to live like that. I don't even watch someone. I don't want to watch someone live like that.
Right.
And so my like the people who have to live with her who live like that are being driven mad by the mm-hmm. person who lives like that. And she's talking about, you know, she's lost. She's down to whatever. And I'm like, that old joke. I'm like, trying to get down to your birth weight? Have you tried Al-Anon? And just like, which makes me an asshole. But I'm like, I can't. She's so critical of, like, everyone around her needs to also be on that plan. It's sort of the caricature of the vegan.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's the joke that everybody writes mm-hmm. about the vegan who wants everyone to be vegan. Mm-hmm. The sober person who wants everyone to be sober. Mm-hmm. This is the food person who wants everyone to not eat sugar and dairy.
To be miserable.
She seems excited about it. I did Weight Watchers once, like 20 years ago. And it was fun because I got to write. It was I got to obsess about food, but not eat. So it was when it was a unique experience to write down everything I was eating and to plan everything I was going to eat in the future. That was almost as good as eating the foods.
Like, oh, my God. No.
Have you ever met people who take pictures of their food and then when they're hungry, look at the pictures?
No.
Los Angeles is nuts, is what I guess I'm telling you.
Well,
I'm not saying it's but I can't trick myself into believing I don't like cheese and bread anymore.
I know. And I don't want to get I had a period of my time life where I was very obsessed with food. And I don't think I'm in danger of returning there ever. It feels so far away.
OK,
you know?
Good.
That's why I wish I could have told my young self. You know, at these OA meetings when I was like 22 or 23, like one day you'll just kind of like forget. It's so weird when you're in this incredible pain in your 20s and then you're in your 50s and you're like, oh yeah, that. But at the time it was crushing, you know?
Yeah.
And it just feels like an old memory.
Right.
But on the other hand, I do wish. Like my sister just lost a bunch of weight on the keto diet, and from what I've observed, it's a lot of measuring and counting and obsessing and, you know, talking about it and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I want something else, something besides that for my brain power. But it's not like I'm always, you know, reading Robert Caro books on Lyndon Johnson. Like I'm fucking off in my head, and I'm sort of. While I'm eating, I don't know.
Right.
I would like to.
What'd you have for breakfast?
Well, for the first breakfast.
Oh, right, because you traveled today.
Yes.
Today's a travel day.
I had a latte and no sugar and yogurt with a mango and a little granola. Like,
okay.
You know, one of those little parfaits they sell for $8.
Over at the.
And then I got home.
Good thing you got $1.50 a week extra.
I know.
Coming in.
Then I got home and I had two pieces of sourdough toast. And,
oh, with some butter and salt?
And yes. And
well played.
An apple.
And
so
an apple.
I guess that was, but that was like 11:30. So I'm like, is that early lunch or is that breakfast too?
The Elevenses? Yeah, that's a Hobbit reference you don't care about.
Nope.
Nope. And I'll be over here. The Andy went to Western Bagel, which is the only decent bagel place. And because we have a Western Bagel out, like a factory right by us, or a bakery that makes them.
Wow.
And so he can get them fresh. We never go, but we live in the valley near enough to that place. He was like, do you want bagels? And I said, no. But I will eat a bagel if you go get me a bagel. And he went and got, so we had lox and bagels and cream cheese this morning. So,
yeah, I mean, you had a nice meal with your husband.
It was nice.
Yeah.
It was all right.
Mm-hmm.
And, but what I would like to do is to not, I don't know, I would like to not just eat when I'm bored, which is what right. I tend to do sometimes.
Yeah.
And if especially.
Or if I don't know what to do.
Right. If there's food sitting around.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I try to do is I try to drink coffee instead.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, why don't you have water? Like everyone else is eating, you could have water and you're not hungry. I can't. It's been a little while since. I mean, do you ever get to that place where you're like, everything's going well, but I wish I would die? Hi, I'm so sorry. It's not a cry for help, everyone. It's okay. Jackie's okay. It's okay, you guys.
What? Please explain this to me.
It's just things are going well. Like, things are going amazing.
Right.
But I can't fix the minutiae in my life.
Right.
And it's not like Andy Ashcraft doesn't like this person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's still willing to touch it. So, or whatever. But the thing is I don't feel good in my own body, right? I feel, and I want to exercise, but I don't.
Right.
I want to eat better, but I don't.
Right.
I want to, write something else besides jokes. Like, I would like to write this thing that I want to write.
Yeah.
And I'm not doing it. So those things are so, to some extent, crushing my psyche so much that I'm like, if I were dead, these pressures would not be upon me. But I'm not suicidal. First of all, who's got that kind of energy? And I don't have that kind of energy either. But the rest of my life is so amazing. Like, I am loved. The universe supports me. I get to do all kinds of stand-up. I can't fix the political situation, but I am going to maybe register people to vote in Fresno.
Yes.
Which is actually giving me some hope.
How much of traveling ruin all these kinds of plans? You know what I mean? Like, the fact that you can't keep a normal... exercise, any kind of food goals you have. And I know some people... Like, I exercise on the road, but my food on the road is, like, fucked up, yeah. Right? And so, because it's fucked up on the road, I don't really try to do anything with it when I'm not on the road, because I'm going to be on the road again. So,
right.
You know?
Well, and I've been home for 5 days, and I have to leave again for another 9 days.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there's part of me that's just like, I just got home. I just got home.
Right.
I'm just catching up on my sleep.
Right, right, right.
I'm just getting, I just got the house back into an order where I feel like everything's in its place where then I could probably get some work done.
Right.
And
I know it's, I think that when you, like, I have stuff coming up too, like this weekend.
Right. You've got,
I will be at Providence at the Comedy Connection in Rhode Island. Two shows Friday and Saturday. And on the 14th, I'll be at Mohegan Sun in Connecticut.
Right.
On Valentine's Day. But it's like, so any plans I had to, like, buy, you know, some food and prepare things, I'm like, yeah, but I'm not going to be around to eat at that. So, you know what? I'm just going to have some toast. That's
right. Right. You're like, I need a vegetable. But why make it? Because I'm going to make too much and then
yes,
I'm leaving.
How many of us comics are derailed from, like, any kind of health goals because you're just going to be on the road?
Right.
And
you have to be Renee Hicks.
And look what happened to her. She left the business.
Yeah, because she wanted to treat herself right, probably. She had to figure out how to live healthier.
Right.
Yeah. Just so people know, the 14th, 1 minute?
1 hour.
We're at an hour.
Okay, cool.
Let me just tell you where I'm going to do stand-up then.
Yeah.
February 14th, Cobbs, doing the Valentine's Day gig.
San Francisco.
And then I'm off on the JoCo Cruise, Nerd Cruise, with Grammy winner Amy Mann.
Oh, my God.
Anyway.
Fun. And please buy my book, Dead
buy
People Suck.
Dead People Suck.
Please.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.